Act 7. 233. Exterior, the downtown area, morning. The snow is falling as fast and hard as ever. Buildings are half buried. Power lines disappear into the snow. It looks like the newscast walk and ski we saw in the dreams, only with the storm still going on. 234. Exterior, the town hall, morning. The cupola with the memorial bell in it is almost buried, and the brick town hall building itself looks ghostly. The wind howls unabated. 235. Interior, the town meeting hall, morning. About half of the folks who took shelter in the town hall are here, sitting on the hard wooden benches with plates on their laps, eating pancakes and drinking juice. A kind of buffet has been set up at the back of the hall, with Mrs. Kingsbury, wearing a brilliant red hunter's cap with the bill turned around backward, gangster style, and Tess Marchant officiating. There's juice, coffee, and cold cereal in addition to the pancakes. The folks eating breakfast are very quiet, not sullen, but introspective and a little afraid. All the families with small children are up. Of course they are. We folks rise and shine early. And among them, we see the Hatchers and the Andersons in a sleepy morning party of six. Mike is feeding Ralphie bites of pancake, and Hatch is doing about the same with Pippa. The wives drink coffee and talk quietly. The side door opens, letting in a howl of wind, a swirl of snow, and an excited Johnny Harriman. Johnny.
Mike. Hey, Mikey. I never seen such a storm surge in my life. I think the lighthouse is gonna go. I really do.
The islanders stir and murmur. Mike puts Ralphie on Molly's lap and gets up. Hatch gets up, too, and so do most of the others. Mike. Folks, if you go out, stay close to the building. We've got whiteout conditions, remember. 236. Exterior. Angle on the headland and the lighthouse. Morning. The tide is coming high, and huge waves pound the rocks. The headland is almost inundated with each one. The base of the lighthouse is drowned with each incoming surge of water. The lighthouse survived last night's high tide. It probably won't survive this one. 237. Exterior. The side of the town hall. Morning. Islanders spill out, chattering, some buttoning their coats, some knotting scarves under their chins, some pulling up hoods and yanking down ski masks. 238. Interior, the town meeting room, morning. The last of the people going out are just slipping through the easing clog at the side door. What's left in here are a few people who don't want to quit eating, plus seven mommies and one daddy, Jack Carver, coping with little kids who are exceedingly reluctant to be left out of the excitement. Ralphie.
Mommy, please can't I go see?
Molly exchanges a look with Melinda. It's exasperated and amused at the same time, a look that only the parents of preschool children know. Pippa, picking up on it.
Please, Mommy, please can't I?
Don Beals, meanwhile, is employing a more masterful approach with Sandra. Don.
Put my coat on. I want to go out. Hurry up, you slowpoke.
Molly, to Ralphie.
Oh, all right.
To Melinda.
Hey, I want to see, too.
To Ralphie.
Come on, Ralphie, let's find your coat.
Most of the other parents, Linda St. Pierre, Carla Bright, Jack Carver, Jill Robichaud, are doing the same. Ursula Godso, however, is resisting Sally's imploring. Ursula.
Mommy can't, honey. She's too tired. I'm sorry.
Sally.
Daddy will take me. Where's Daddy?
Ursula can't think of an answer and is on the verge of tears. The other ladies who overhear are melting with sympathy. Sally doesn't know yet that her father is dead. Jenna Freeman.
I'll take you out, hon, if it's okay with your mom.
Ursula nods gratefully. 239. Exterior, the side lawn of the town hall. Morning. About 70 island residents are clustered in a loose line, all standing with their backs to us, all looking toward the ocean. The parents come from the side door, either carrying young, bundled-up children or leading them by the hand. They occasionally sink hip-deep in the new snow and have to help each other out of the drifts. There is some laughter. The excitement has helped to stir them out of their post-dream introspection. In the foreground, the black barrel of a cane comes down, burying itself in the snow. 240. Exterior. The rear of the town hall. Morning. Linoge is standing here, watching the townsfolk through the heavy snow. They don't see him because their backs are turned. 241. Exterior. Headland and lighthouse, from the town hall's point of view. Morning. From here, the lighthouse is almost obscured by the snow. From time to time, it will be obscured. But right now, we can see both it and the giant waves surging around it. 242. Exterior. Mike and Hatch. Morning. Hatch. Is it gonna go, Mike? Molly and Melinda, accompanied by Ralph and Pippa, join their husbands. Mike bends to pick up Ralphie without taking his eyes off the lighthouse. Mike. I think it is. 243. Exterior. Headland and lighthouse. From the town hall's point of view. A huge wave smacks the headland and surges around the lighthouse. Then the wind howls, the snow thickens, and the lighthouse is hardly there, only a dim white ghost in the swirling snow. 244. Interior, the lighthouse control room. Water pours in through the shattered windows and inundates the electronic gear. Sparks fly. The computers short out. 245. Exterior, headland and lighthouse, from the town hall's point of view. Except we really can't see much at all now, except for a couple of houses and some ghostly trees down the hill from where the people stand. The snow has thickened, and the wind is swirling it up, creating whiteout conditions. 246. Exterior. The townsfolk. A panning shot. Morning. We see the little family groups and clusters of friends. Sonny and Upton Bell are together. Kirk and his younger sister, Jenna, accompanied by little Sally Godsoak, are standing near the Beals'. But some folks stand a bit apart from the others. Behind them all, the snow provides a shifting white backdrop. The town hall itself is only a pink shadow. As we pan, Kirk, I can't see a thing. Ferd Andrews, it's a damn whiteout. Don Beals,
Daddy, where's the lighthouse?
Robbie, to Don.
Wait for the wind to drop, honey.
Don.
Make it drop now.
Davy Hopewell, to Mrs. Kingsbury.
Look, there's the light just coming around. It's still there.
247. Interior, looking into the whiteout from the islander's point of view. Morning. In all that swirling snow, the searchlight gleams fitfully, brightens, then revolves out of sight again. As it does, we begin to see the headland once more. 248. Exterior. Resume panning townspeople. Morning. Hatch. It's lifting. Mrs. Kingsbury is standing to the left of the Hopewells, her red hunting cap, now turned around so the bill faces front. Bright yellow gloves. Linoge must have had another pair of them stashed somewhere. Come out of the snow. One clamps over Mrs. Kingsbury's mouth, the other grabs her by the neck. She is jerked backward into the whiteout. The Hopewells are quite close by, but none of them see. They are peering into the snow as hard as they can. 249. Exterior. Headland and lighthouse from the town hall's point of view. A gigantic wave smashes into the headland, humps up, and crashes into the lighthouse. And now we can see it beginning to tilt. 250. Exterior. Sonny Brodigan and Upton Bell. Sonny.
She going. Holy God, she surely going.
Near them is a male resident bundled up in a grease-stained parka with Island Easy Pump written on the left breast. A shape, Linoge, looms behind him. It pauses for a second or two, and then the cane comes down across Mr. Easy Pump's throat, gripped at either end by bright yellow gloves. Mr. Easy Pump is yanked backward into the whiteout. Neither Sonny nor Upton notice. They are thrilled by the destruction taking place below. 251. Exterior. The whiteout, looking back toward the town hall. We see two black shapes, the soles of Mr. Easy Pump's boots. They float briefly in all that white, then disappear. 252. Exterior, the lighthouse, morning. Another of those huge waves buries the lower half. We hear the rumble of water and the groan of crumbling bricks. The lighthouse's tilt becomes more pronounced. 253. Interior, the lighthouse control room, morning. It's tilting. Tilting. Water pouring in. The tilt becoming more pronounced as equipment comes unanchored and begins to slide down the steepening slope of the floor. 254. Exterior. The islanders outside the town hall. Morning. The camera is behind them, panning from left to right. From between them or over their shoulders, we can see the tottering lighthouse. 255. Exterior. Jack, Angie, and Buster Carver. Morning. Jack is highly excited. He sweeps Buster into his arms and lunges forward a little through the snow. Jack.
Look, Buster. The lighthouse is falling down.
Buster.
Falling down. Lighthouse falling down.
Angela is about four steps behind them. Neither Jack nor Buster see the yellow gloves as they float out of the snow, grab her, and yank her backward into the white curtain. 256. Exterior. Resume lighthouse. Morning. The inundating wave retreats. For a moment, it seems, the lighthouse might endure yet a little longer, and then it goes crashing down, the light above the shattered control room still revolving valiantly. As it falls, another wave strikes, drowning the ruins. 257. Exterior. The islanders. Panic. They are silent, their brief excitement gone. Now that it's actually happened, they wish it had not. We end up on Jack and Buster. Buster.
Where's the lighthouse, Daddy? Did it go bye-bye?
Jack, sadly.
Yeah, honey. I guess so. Lighthouse went bye-bye.
Turning.
Angie, did you see it? Did you?
But there's no one where she was standing. Jack.
Angie. Angela.
He looks up and down the line of islanders, puzzled, but not yet worried or afraid. He doesn't see her. Jack.
Hey, Ange!
Buster.
Hey, Mommy!
Jack looks at Orv Boucher, who is standing nearby. Jack.
Did you see my wife?
Orv.
Gee, Jack, I didn't notice. Maybe she got cold and went back inside.
258. Exterior, the Hopewell family, Stan, Mary, and Davy. Morning. Davy's parents are still looking down at the place where the lighthouse stood, as if expecting an instant replay. But Davy is looking around, frowning. Davy.
Mrs. Kingsbury.
Mary Hopewell hears him.
Davy?
Davy.
She was just here.
Jack comes slogging along, now holding Buster by the hand. Jack.
Angie.
To Buster.
I guess Orv's right. She must have gotten cold and gone back inside.
Nearby are Alex Haber and Cal Freeze. Cal, looking around.
Hey, where's old George Kirby?
259. Exterior, the Andersons and the Hatchers, morning. Along the ragged line of islanders who have come out to watch the lighthouse go down, Cal and Alex are calling for George Kirby. Jack and Buster are calling for Angela. Davy Hopewell is calling for Mrs. Kingsbury, and a couple of other folks are calling for Bill, the real name of Mr. Easy Pump, one assumes. A kind of sick realization is dawning on Mike's face. He looks at Hatch and sees much the same look there. Mike sets Ralphie down and turns to the ragged line of islanders. Mike.
Back inside. Everyone back inside.
Molly.
Mike, what's wrong?
Mike ignores her. He begins running down the line of islanders, looking frantic. Mike.
Inside. Everybody. Now. And stay together.
His fear communicates itself to the islanders, who begin to turn and go inside. Robbie comes over to Mike.
Robbie.
What the hell's this?
Mike.
Maybe nothing. For now, just go inside. Take your wife and your boy and go inside.
As he gets Robbie turned around and begins shepherding him back to Sandra and Don, Jack Carver comes floundering up through the snow, holding Buster. Jack, now beginning to be afraid.
Michael, have you seen Angela? She was right here.
Robbie begins to understand. He goes to Sandra and Buster, suddenly not wanting them out of his sight. Mike, take your boy on inside, Jack. Jack,
but...
Mike, go on now. Do it. 260. Exterior. Hatch on the snowfield beside the town hall. Around him, people are hurrying back to the side door. Most look fearful. Hatch ignores them, trying to look everywhere at once, an impossible trick given the thick snow. Hatch.
Mrs. Kingsbury.
George.
George Kirby.
Bill Timmons, where are you at?
He sees a bright splash of red and goes to it. He picks up Mrs. Kingsbury's hat, dusts the snow from it with his gloved hand, and looks at it gravely as Mike comes up to him, herding people along. Mike's eyes also move everywhere. They are shepherds trying to guard a diminishing flock. Mike takes the hat from Hatch and looks at it for a moment.
Mike.
Inside.
Inside now.
Stick together.
261. Interior, the town meeting hall, features Jack and Buster. Buster.
Where's Mommy? We left Mommy outside. Daddy, we left Mommy outside.
Jack, beginning to cry.
Come on, big boy. Mommy's fine.
He almost drags Buster up the aisle and toward the door leading to the town office and the stairs. 262. Interior. Montage of Islanders. Meeting hall. Morning. They shuffle up the aisles. Molly and Ralphie, the Stanhopes, Johnny Harriman, Tevye Godso, Kirk and Jenna Freeman, all are new acquaintances, and every face is stamped with fear. Dissolves to 263. Exterior. The town hall. Afternoon. Title card. 2 p.m. The snow is still swirling down, and the wind is still howling. Parked by the side door is the biggest snowcat on the island, its engine idling. 264. Exterior, the town hall's side door. Closer. Afternoon. Bundled up in the doorway are Mike, Sonny, Henry Bright, and Kirk Freeman. There to see them off, clutching sweaters against the chill, are Molly, Hatch, and Tess Marchant. Once again, they all shout to be heard over the storm.
Molly. Are you sure this is necessary?
Mike. No, but we're fresh out of weather forecasts, and it's best to be safe. Besides, there's stuff at the market that'll just go over if we don't use it.
Molly. Fresh orange juice isn't worth risking that psychopath.
Mike. He's not going to take on four of us.
Molly. Promise me you'll be careful.
Mike.
I promise.
Shifts his attention to Hatch.
Buddy system, right?
No one gets left alone.
Hatch.
Right. Be careful, you guys.
Sonny.
You better believe it.
As they turn away toward the snowcat.
Molly.
Mike, since the house is right on your way...
She stops, a little embarrassed to ask what has come to her mind, but his eyes are kind and encourage her.
Molly.
Well, the kids are being as good as they can, but if you could just maybe grab a handful of games and two or three boxes of slipsticks or something, it'd be a lifesaver.
Mike kisses her on the cheek. Consider it done. He goes to the snowcat and slides behind the controls. He guns the engine. They all wave and the snowcat buzzes away into the storm.
Tevye. Will they be all right?
Hatch.
Sure.
He looks worried, though. They go back inside and shut the door against the storm. 265. Exterior. The Anderson House on Lower Main. Afternoon. The snowcat pulls up in front. The picket fence is totally buried. The Wee Folks Daycare Center sign is lying on top of a 10-foot drift. 266. Interior. The snowcat. Afternoon.
Mike, to the others.
Just be a minute. He opens the door on his side and gets out. 267. Exterior, outside the Anderson house, with Mike, afternoon.
He slogs around the front of the snowcat, bent over against the snow and wind, and almost runs headlong into Kirk Freeman. Once more, they shout over the wind to be heard. Mike, get back in and stay warm. I'll be fine. Kirk, body system, remember? He points into the snowcat at Henry and Sonny. Kirk, we buddy up in there. They buddy up out here. We all buddy up together in the market. Mike, okay, come on. They start slogging up what used to be a path to a porch, wallowing under the drifts like a slowly sinking boat. 268. Interior. Cat Withers. Close up. She's sitting on a folding chair and looks pretty vacant. She's got a mug of something in one hand and a sweater pulled over her shoulders. She's still bombed on shock and tranquilizers. In the background, children sing. Children and Sandra Beals. I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Cat reacts to this, but doesn't overreact. She may not remember the song. The camera pulls back to show us the daycare kids. They are being monitored by Robbie and Sandra Beals' buddy system. Sandra is leading the singing and trying to look vivacious. Robbie sits on another wooden chair, looking almost as lost as Cat. The kids are being teapots. As they sing, they make handles of their arms and tug their noses to show they know where their spouts are. Around them, at this end of the common room, which is between the stairs and the wall, is a litter of makeshift amusements. Books, paste, magazines with lots of cut-out pictures and scraps, a few toys. Beyond them is a closed door with a plaque on it that reads, Custodian. Children and Sandra. Here is my handle. Here is my spout. Kurt Andrews comes down the stairs and stands next to Robbie. Robbie.
I hate that song.
Ferd.
Why?
Robbie.
I just hate it. How's Jack Carver?
Ferd.
Quieted down some. It's just good the women got the kid away from him before he cracked.
Nods at Buster.
There ought to be a search party made up to look for Angela and them others. If Alton Hatcher won't lead it, you could.
Robbie.
And if the search party didn't come back, what then? Send out another one?
Ferd.
Well, we can't just sit here.
Robbie.
Sure we can. And that's just what we're going to do. Sit here and wait out the storm. Pardon me, Ferd. I need a coffee.
Giving Ferd a contemptuous look, Robbie gets to his feet and heads upstairs. Ferd goes after him. Ferd.
I was just thinking we ought to do something, Robbie.
The camera returns to Cat. Her eyes flicker. She sees 269. Insert Manoj's cane. It swings toward the camera, Silver Wolf's head seeming to snarl. 270. Interior. Resume kids' play area. Afternoon. Cat drops her mug and puts her hands over her face, beginning to sob. The kids stop singing and turn to look at her. Pippa and Heidi start to sniffle in sympathy. Frank Bright.
What's wrong with Katrina Withers?
Sandra.
Nothing, Frankie. She's just tired. You kids pick up a little, okay? Mr. Anderson will be bringing back some new things to play with, I think, so just...
Don.
I'm not going to pick up. My dad will give me a donut.
He dashes for the stairs. Sandra.
Don. Don Beals. You come back and help the others.
Ralphie.
We don't need him. Monkeys can't pick up.
The others snicker. That's a pretty good one. And when Ralphie starts picking up the litter, the rest join in. Sandra goes over and begins comforting Cat. 271. Interior. Isolate on Ralphie. He works his way a little apart from the others, picking up magazines. He's moving toward the door marked custodian, and when it comes open, he looks up.
Manoj, voice. Ralphie. Hey, big boy.
The others do not hear, but Ralphie does. 272. Interior. We Folks Daycare Center with Mike and Kirk. Kirk has an armload of games and those kid puzzles with the great big pieces. Mike has the slipsticks and a few other simple crafts. Kirk.
That it?
Mike. Yep, should do. Let's...
Something catches his eye. It's a scatter of alphabet blocks on a low work table. Mike kneels beside it, looks thoughtfully at the blocks, then begins to pull some of them together into a line. Kirk, over to have a look.
What you doing?
Mike has used six of the blocks to spell out Linoge. He looks at them, then swaps them around to make Niloge. No, that's nonsense. Next comes Gonile. Kirk.
Gonile. Sounds like an ad for a vacation in Egypt.
273. Interior. The kids' play area. Sandra is busy with Cat, and the other kids have grouped together around some baskets in the corner where they stow the toys, books, and magazines. They're having a good time. No one notices Ralphie as he gets up and walks hesitatingly toward the half-open door of the custodian's closet. Linoge. Voice.
Got something for you, big boy. A present.
Ralphie reaches for the door, then hesitates. Linoge. Voice. Teasing.
Not afraid, are you?
Ralphie reaches for the door again, this time more decisively. 274. Interior. We Folks Daycare with Mike and Kirk. Kirk is interested now. He moves the blocks himself, making Linoge into Lonig. And suddenly, Mike sees it. His eyes widen with horror. Mike. Jesus and the disciples in the country of the Gadarenes. Book of Mark. Oh, my God. Kirk.
Huh?
Mike. They met a man with an unclean spirit. That's what it says in the gospel. A man with demons inside of him. He lived among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not even with chains. Jesus cast the demons into a herd of pigs that ran into the ocean and drowned themselves. But before he cast them out, Jesus asked their names, and the thing inside said, Kirk is watching him with increasing fright as Mike manipulates the blocks. Mike, our name is Legion, for we are many. Now the blocks that spelled Linoge spell Legion. Mike and Kirk stare at each other, wide-eyed. 275. Interior, outside the custodian's closet. Ralphie opens the door and looks up at André Linoge. In one hand, Linoge grips his wolf's head cane. The other is behind his back. Linoge is smiling. Linoge,
it's a present for the fairy saddle boy. Come and see.
Ralphie enters the custodian's closet. The door swings shut. This ends part 2.